deep in London's beating heart lies a wall. How lucky do it be if you know the call? For if the wall steps aside, be not afraid of what you see, 'cause the wizard world is opened up, as has the Gryffindor.
Hello everyone, and welcome to Streetcast, no longer a Harry Potter reread podcast for lapsed fans. I'm your host DC.
And I'm Liz.
And Liz, have you detected that I am on a different microphone?
No.
Last week, I don't know if this is something that picked up over Discord for you, but it was something that I realized while I was editing the episode. I was bumping and knocking the shit out of the microphone last week.
Oh, no. The Discord filtering is so OP.
The amount of times that I have said a joke on this show, and then I haven't heard anything from you, and I've just sort of made a little note in my notepad thing, just say, okay, cut this joke, this one bombed. And then I listen to the recording, it's oh no, Crisp just deleted that completely.
Right.
That happens once an episode. Crisp is way too aggressive.
Yeah.
It's always a relief to hear that oh, okay, that one didn't go over like a lead balloon. It was fine. I don't need to cut this. I don't need to cut this bit or whatever.
Okay, but I like to think that if the joke didn't go over well, at least I would have some polite laughter, right? So if you if you hear nothing, I'm not just gonna go silent.
Right? If you go completely silent, I've said something really bad. I think I
hung up. Yeah.
I make a lot of cuts on this show, but I've never, I will say, I've never had to cut just a joke that was you know, just bad.
Right.
I don't think I've ever finished recording an episode with you and gone to make dinner or whatever and gotten a message from you that was hey, can you cut this thing I said? That's never happened, right?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think about the stuff you say on the pod after you say it? You know, have you ever wanted to be ooh, I wish I could redo this, or ooh, I gotta let them know to cut that, because it's never happened, but I just think about it sometimes when I'm spending hours editing a podcast down. It's you've given me a lot of trust in presenting our work.
Yeah, you know. I mean, I can't think of a specific time. I'm sure that it has happened maybe 3 to 5 times where I've left an episode and been wow, that was stupid, or something like that. But no, it's very, very, very infrequent. And I trust the listeners to know that if you sit in front of a microphone and record 500 episodes about Harry Potter or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to say some stupid shit.
I've said some really stupid, episode 3, I talked about putting forks in a microwave on purpose, right? I mean, we've said some dumb shit on this show. That's fine. But yes, no, I was bumping the shit out of the microphone last week, and or that's what it sounded like. You know, I was, and I did my best to clean it up, but there was just some I couldn't remove because it was under my dialogue. So apologies to headphone listeners for last week's knocking and grinding. But I figured out it was because the mic stand that I have that clips onto my desk. I don't know why this wasn't a problem with my old desk, but it is with my new desk. If I so much as touch the mouse or pat the table, it will just go bunk. The shockwave just carries all the way through the mic stand.
Darn.
Yeah, so I need to figure out either a new stand or maybe I need to get a rolling side table for that mic or something. But I am in lieu of that, I'm using this Razer gaming headset that I've been using for Discord for a while, and it's this thing sounds pretty good, honestly.
Yeah.
It sounds like a normal microphone, right?
Yeah, because you need audio clarity when you're doing some shot calling in some online video games.
Do you use the same mic for podcasting that you do for playing games? Playing WoW?
I do, and it's such a pain in the ass too, because I have two computers and I record on one and I game on the other. So I have to lug my big mic stand from desk to desk.
That is playing with fire. That is Windows audio is frustrating enough that feels dangerous. I'm impressed that it's not caused too many issues for you.
Yeah, that's why sometimes when we start recording, or rather when we like get in the Discord call to begin with, my voice will be coming from some sort of mysterious microphone that isn't my normal one.
Have you figured out what that is?
No.
It's
either a monitor mic, which makes no sense, or it's a Cintiq mic, which makes maybe.
Because you don't have a webcam on that PC,
I do not. Do Cintiqs have microphones? yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently, built-in microphone. So I bet that's okay. What it was.
Okay, wow, mystery solved after all this time. I had no idea that the Cintiq had a microphone in it.
Mm-hmm.
What's that for?
I have no idea.
That sounds nuts, because surely that's going to pick up all of the, like, scraping and you know, all the clacking of the pencil on the screen. That's bizarre. I had no idea.
Yeah, huh. Very strange.
Okay, well, that at least makes me feel bad, because for a time, whenever that would happen, we were like, what the fuck is recording you? What is this mystery mic?
Yeah.
The Cintiq microphone. Okay, cool. I guess that's a neat little bonus they throw in for you on the drawing tablet. You can use it as a communications device, too. Today I learned. I had no idea.
Yeah. I gotta start gaming on here, and then I can talk. I can do some shot calling through the Cintiq.
It would be so cool if you could play like touchscreen games with the Cintiq. That would actually kind of rock, I think.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And play some Wild Rift on a big screen. That would make sense. That would work. Yeah. No, I don't know. What have you been up to? We're building up to Truce at Bakura, but I haven't had a chance to track like a full copy of that down yet. We're doing sort of a half bonus episode this week. We're chilling. We're hanging out.
Yeah, kind of a main bonus that we've got going on. I have been pretty good. I've got a lot going on right now, mild stress, I suppose, just because of like how much stuff I've got going on. But I have incredible news. I got invited to the exclusive intermediate strings group.
Let's fucking go.
Finally.
Yes. The intermediate strings group. So what do you play in the intermediate strings group?
So I have a packet of music. I haven't looked at it yet.
Okay.
So I will find out probably tonight or tomorrow when I try to learn all of the music by next week.
They've got a special version of Pachelbel's Canon that's got extra stuff in it. It's in D and E this time.
Definitely.
That's cool though. That's so exciting. So I didn't realize that the intermediate group was invite only. You were sort of like pulled aside at the end and say, "Hey, you want to kick it with the higher group?" Or how did that happen?
Yep, pretty much. So the like director of the program is also the director of the like beginners group that I've been in. And of course it all happened in like the most awkward way possible. Like we're all sitting there and the director like had some like at the very beginning had something like remind her, and she like turned to me, pointed at me, said, "I need to talk to you. We're gonna talk after."
Oh god.
After the thing. And I kind of suspected that this is what was going to happen. But of course, my mind is racing, right? I'm just like, what could it possibly be? Is there some sort of problem? And then also in the back of my mind, I was like, am I going to get the invite to the intermediate group? And then if so, I better play well tonight. And so, of course, I played like the worst that I have played in weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, really? Really terrible, because I was so nervous and I hadn't eaten all day, so I was like really shaky too, and so like my bow is shaking, I'm like out of tune and all this stuff, and but I went like after the thing, I went with her and she like talked to me outside and invited me to the group, and I was just like, I didn't say this, but I wanted to say like, are you sure after you just heard me play? But yeah, I got the music and we'll be going next week.
Ah, that's so exciting. That's so cool. Wow. The big moves, big power.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really really cool. Does it come with like extra, like, I was about to say responsibilities, but that's not really like, are you meeting more often? Are you meeting at different times? Like, are there performances, or is it just like you're meeting the same time and just playing slightly more advanced music?
I believe there are performances, although I did a performance with my beginner group too. So I think it just sort of, they come up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I think it's for like the same amount of time. But I think one of the big differences is that the director of the program conducts instead of plays with us. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. She's very funny. She's just like your classic high school orchestra teacher. So it's been fun feeling like I'm in high school orchestra again.
I actually don't know what classic orchestra high school teacher is, because I didn't have orchestra in high school. I had normal band, and my band teacher was like a very short Italian man who loved talking about how Italian he was. That was sort of the one defining characteristic there.
Sure.
How would you describe a high school orchestra teacher?
You know, it's sort of intangible.
Okay.
I think like typically pretty nice, but you know, down to business and kind of, I mean, I think that probably band teachers are the same way, but it's just the kind of like you get stopped and started and, you know, nitpicks the whole time. And then at the end, they're like, that was beautiful, you guys. So
no, okay. Yeah. No, that's very, point. At no point did the high school band teacher say, wow, that was actually really beautiful, you guys. No, he was really like, it was weird. Cause like, I didn't hate him or anything. He was totally, you know, I like whenever he like wasn't on the podium, I think he was a really nice guy. But yeah, his teaching style was very, he thought he was he considered himself a Patton, you know. He was a very he tried to do very hard man type shit up there.
I guess I remember our band teacher being like that too, because I wasn't in band, but I did like the pit orchestra whenever the musical would come around in high school, and the band teacher conducted that, and I was like, oh, you're kind of an asshole.
the thing I really just will always remember is him going on a rant about, I don't even know what it was, like the flutes weren't paying enough attention or something, you know, the flute players were gotten off time too many times or whatever, and he went on this bizarre rant that I will always remember about how you all think that I have to respect you. And I don't. Respect is earned.
Oh, no.
I know. It's just like, I mean, I don't really think about that at all, man. I'm here to play the trumpet. I'm not like that is, worried.
That just is such a type of high school teacher that makes me so mad. what a crazy kind of guy that is.
Yeah. I had like mostly pretty good high school teachers, but I did, you know, there were a few of that type.
Yeah, that's crazy. High school's crazy. I had a teacher, it was social studies in like eighth or ninth grade. And his whole thing was that he didn't want to do the curriculum because it didn't teach enough life lessons. So instead we played a flash game about owning a business.
Oh my God. Okay.
It was like a lemonade stand simulator.
Oh
my God.
Oh wait, no. Oh, I've totally played this. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I didn't play it in school.
Yeah,
but
we played that in school to learn about business.
Amazing. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. I had a teacher who didn't want to do the curriculum once, but it was a biology teacher who was religious and got mad that she had to teach us evolution. And I guess didn't. decided not to. We skipped that. We watched the movie The Blob instead. And then I think she got in trouble.
Yeah, yeah. I had a chemistry teacher throw a fit and like was so frustrated that no one was paying attention or like doing the work, that he was like, okay, I'm not teaching anymore. If you have questions, come to my office. And he legitimately just sat in his office the rest of the like semester or whatever. And like he would like give us worksheets for the day, but then he would just sit in there and not teach. And it was
That's awesome. If you cared,
you could go and like bug him, but he wouldn't get up in front of the class to teach anything.
That's so cool. Teacher, you know, I have a lot of respect for teachers and the profession of teaching, but I have had a handful of just the, you know, occasionally you just get like the worst teacher of all time. It's kind of like at the time it's frustrating and horrible because you're stuck there. But I do sort of thank them at least. Like it's good. It's a good lesson to go through school or whatever and realize that like adults can be stupid too.
Mm-hmm.
People don't just like become normal and smart. Lesson learned, I guess. I guess I can't trust everybody, right? But I had a vice principal who came in and yelled at us like not to, you know, there's too much swearing in this school.
Ah.
And then they listed off a bunch of swear words and I learned a bunch I didn't know that day. Thanks to her. So that was cool. School is really stupid.
Yeah, it is.
That's so cool. I'm so excited for you and your new position as intermediate violinist. That's very cool.
Yeah. I'm scared now that I'm gonna blow it. Like I'm gonna go the first time and be like, oh no, I can't keep up. But we'll see how it goes. I did flip through the music and I was like, yeah, this looks a little bit more like what I was playing in high school.
Cool. Yeah. You think you're going to like try and like, is there an advanced after this or is it
like? The path would probably be like the community college orchestra.
Ooh.
Would be where you would go after if you were like playing. I don't. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
It would be fun.
Yeah. Huh. I had no idea that community colleges had orchestras. How could they? Everywhere has a damn orchestra except the school I went to. God,
it's crazy that the school you went to didn't have orchestra. I feel like the school you went to had everything. So to not have a string orchestra is nuts.
Yeah, no, it was a like school. There are a lot of affluent students at my school. Like it was, you know, it was not an underfunded school by any means. It had a lot of good programs, but yeah, no orchestra, just band. Mm.
I
don't know. There was jazz band. I was in jazz band, but that was the only like extracurricular band thing.
Right.
Very, very weird. You know, I'm teaching myself a lot of new things. I'm having a lot of new experiences. I don't know how I would go about learning the violin. I'd love to. That'd be fucking awesome to give it a shot. But yeah, I don't know. How does one get a violin? Are there like, can you get like a cheap, shitty violin?
Yeah, you can, but I would recommend renting a medium tier violin just to see if you like it, and it's like $20 a month or whatever.
Oh, that's not so bad. Well, I'll do that once I've settled into the groove of cooking. That's my current thing.
Oh, nice.
I'm in a new apartment. It's got a big kitchen. I'm like, damn, I should make use of this. And I've been cooking at home more, learning some of the basics, and having a good time with that.
That's very cool. What have you been cooking?
Let me see. I've made some beef stew. I've made some. I've been really enjoying making Indian food. I've made like a lot of butter chicken. That's sort of my staple right now. Because I fucking love some turmeric. You know, I'm a big just like lemon chicken breast type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a little fish, you know, so I'm getting a nice salmon fillet kind of mostly pretty basic stuff right now. But I'm enjoying like I'm making the sauces from scratch, which is really fun.
Nice.
Yeah, no, I'm having fun with it. I don't know. I've cooked before, but I've not like as sort of as a means to an end, I guess, until now. And now I'm sort of unlocking the like doing it for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Path, which I'm really excited about because that feels like a good skill to have.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Do you like falafel?
I do like falafel. Is that a good one to try making?
I had a fun time learning and making falafel.
Mm,
so I would recommend that. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. The one thing I haven't done yet that I really want to do, because, like, of course, is I haven't done much pasta yet. I want to do some pasta, cooking.
Yeah, I've never made homemade pasta, actually, but I've made a variety of pasta dishes using, you know, buy off the shelf pasta.
I don't know if I'd like roll my own pasta, you know what I mean? But I would definitely enjoy make, because I, like I said, I'm enjoying like making the sauces and stuff. And I'm like, what is pasta but a sauce delivery system? I kind of want to try making some fun pasta. You make a mean carbonara.
I do make a mean carbonara, although the last time I tried to make it, it did not come out well. And I don't know if I like the cheese was not right. I don't think that the eggs scrambled exactly. It just didn't work out. So now I've lost my confidence.
I do have a confession about this sort of like new hobby. I think part of it is that, as I mentioned like a couple weeks ago, I kind of like going to the store. I'm like enjoying going to the store.
So it's fucked like, up.
It's cool though, because it's like when you're cooking and you go to the store, it's like you've got side quests to complete. Can pull up my journal and it's like, ooh, I need some passata. I need some chicken breast. I need some spices. I need to go get a, you know, or like I'll go and get new side quests, because I'll go to like the housewares department and I'll be like, oh shit, they've got a good deal on a zesting tool. Ooh, I bet I could, you know, but and then it's like, ooh, you have now unlocked the lemon zest tech tree, right? I don't know. It's consuming my brain in that way. I like going to the store. It's fucked up. I like going to the store.
I think that's a good way to be. It's not convenient to hate the store. I will say that. That is an inconvenient, because you gotta keep going to the store multiple times a week.
Yeah.
And it is not not fun. But my stove is broken. So it broke in the scariest way possible, which is that it wouldn't turn off.
Oh my god, what the fuck?
Yeah. So it would not turn off. It said it was off. It was not off.
Oh my god.
Which is like, I mean, that I know everybody worries about leaving the stove on. Like that is just like a, you know, like everyone's like, oh my god, did I leave the stove on when they leave the house? I am consumed by the fear of leaving the stove on. I will often take like photos of the stove to be able to look later and be like, yep, you turned the stove off. I have gone home before to check if the stove was like, I hate that shit. So to have my stove break in such a way that it would not turn off, and like it looked like it was off, the dial was off, the screen thing said it was off and all of that, and then to have it not be off has like fucked me up so
bad. That's crazy.
And what, I'm like, thank god I noticed before I left the house. Not that, I mean, nothing would have happened, but
yeah
it's like this whole thing. So the stove's unplugged, and I got an air fryer instead.
Hey, all right. What have you been making in the air fryer?
Oh, you know, frozen chicken and French fries.
I need to get an air fryer. I speaking of like being at the store and unlocking, like I was at the store picking up. I needed a bigger frying pan, and I saw that they had air fryers, and I for some reason in my mind air fryers were like a few $100. And they're not. They're like $40. And I like saw one and I was like, fucking maybe I should get an air fryer. I didn't, but I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking about the air fryer.
Yeah. I don't know, like, because obviously you can spend a few $100. I think I spent a little bit more than 40 because I was like, okay, this is my oven now. Now that I don't have an oven anymore.
Oh god.
But I don't know like what value you get out of spending more, if it's just like the same shit. But yeah, I mean, we made like salmon in it and it turned out really good, and I have made some assorted other things. You can make all sorts of shit in there. You can make eggs if you get little cups, like little miniature pie tins, and you can just crack an egg in there and then and make an egg. You can make a grilled cheese sandwich in there, although they turn out really weird. Not bad weird, just like so uniform.
Yeah.
It's a little odd.
But they get crispy, right? That's the thing with the air fryer, is it does like crisp. Because that's the thing. I remember, I feel like air fryer has lasted longer as like a trend than the last one I remember, which is, do you remember when like the big like trendy cookware thing was the sous vide?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And just like those are cool. Like there's definitely good stuff you can make with sous vide, but like I just remember seeing the nastiest fucking pictures of people like putting a steak in the sous vide and it coming out and it just being this like completely gray slab of meat and just going like, oh god. Like I think you can like sear it after the fact or something, but I was just like, at that point I will just cook it in the frying pan. I don't know why I need to sous vide this.
I was never a fan of that one.
The stove not turning off, that is dark, that is scary. Is it electric or gas?
It's electric.
Okay, so that's better. If it was if it was not turning off and it was gas, I would, that would be like a vacate the premises until it's taken care of situation. Right, I could not handle that. Yeah.
No, yeah, it's electric.
Is it getting fixed? Do you need to just replace it? Like, what's the deal? Like,
there's some like common troubleshooting that you can do. The thing is it can be like a lot of things. Like it can be the electrical panel, it can be the element, like different stuff. And so I have to just, but that, here's the thing, is I'm so anxious about the stove and the oven. I'm like, wait, I don't have this anxiety I carry with me every single day. So now I don't even want it. I don't even want the oven. I'm just like, I'm
free.
I've got an air fryer. I don't need anything else.
I'm free from having a stove.
You can make like anything in there. You can stick Brussels sprouts in there. You can make a grilled cheese sandwich. You can make eggs. You can make any kind of vegetable. You can make the frozen chicken. You can get the steak fries, the frozen steak fries. You put them in there. It's like you just went to Red Robin. You've got the Red Robin fries at your house.
Do you have a slow cooker?
No, actually.
I feel like, thinking about it, I feel like, because air fryer, here's my distinction. Air fryer, that's where you make your dry food if you want it crispy. Crock pot, slow cooker, that's for wet food. And what else do you need? Those are the two kinds of food. Those are the two kinds of meal. You have a soup meal or a crispy meal. So maybe you're onto something here.
Yeah, yeah. I will say though, not a big fan of the crock pot because it dries everything out. Like I know it's wet, but like the meat gets dry.
The meat gets too dry for you.
It gets too dry. But the upgrade to that is the pressure cooker, which is why, like, speaking of like cooking trends, the Instant Pot, which is just a pressure cooker, was like a big deal. But no, it does everything that a crock pot does, but better.
So here's my thing. I think I might have your anxiety about the stove with the pressure cooker.
Oh yeah, they're terrifying.
Because if that thing goes, like I will just be bisected by that thing if it blows up, right? And that just seems, that's really, it's like, have you been following the thing with like those really popular insulated the Stanley mugs, the like the water?
No.
Okay, there's like a popular brand of like insulated like thermos cup type thing called Stanley, and the controversy with them right now is that they technically like they contain lead because they use a lead pellet to like seal the vacuum.
Ah.
You know, the company line is like, yeah, well, like, that's what you use to seal vacuums. And like, you know, it's a seal, so it's not, you're not going to be exposed to lead. But what if I dropped it really hard? You know what I mean? And that's sort of my thing with a pressure cooker, is it's not, you know, the odds are low that the pressure cooker would explode and chop my head off. But the fact that that is even on the table,
it's like, on the table, all, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that are rare that could go wrong that are like mildly annoying or like dangerous, but like that one's a biggie, I think.
Yeah, no, it feels dangerous to use. Like you're using it, and it is sort of, because like you have to let the pressure out, right? And it does feel like you're disarming a bomb a little bit, which is maybe not what you want when you're cooking.
Exactly what you are doing.
Exactly what you're doing, yeah.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, I guess I'm you know, I have this anxiety about pressure cookers, but I get in a car every week and drive around, so you know, I guess it's, you know, I'm taking my life into my own hands every time I do that. So maybe fuck it, maybe I'll get a pressure cooker. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I have to go in the car and I hate it, but you could not pay me $1 million to get on an airplane, and I gotta say the recent airplane news has not helped that very much.
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's all in Portland. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
It's like, not only are there a lot of, you know, I'm fine with flying, I've flown a lot, but like reading all these, I've been like, damn, a lot of planes seem to be falling apart a few miles from me. That doesn't seem good.
Right.
We could drive to the Boeing. Like if we drive to Seattle, we would go past. But yeah, if a jumbo jet will fall on us if we go up there. it's weird being so close to that one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's something that shouldn't happen. That's my bold stance on this. I don't think planes should fall apart very easily.
Right, yeah.
taking a strong stance here.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, yeah. Travel, cars, etc. I have a new car, and it's really, or you know, new. It's a used car, but I'm driving a different vehicle now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really great, except for the part where I've discovered that the seats are like, and I looked this up, and apparently this is a common complaint with this specific year of the specific car that I got.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the seats, like if a drop of water touches them, mm-hmm, it's just there forever, like just stained. And I've tried a bunch of different chemicals, and everyone's just like, no, you need to take it to a detailer. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. My normal ass car to the detailer to get this. So I'm just stuck with the seat that like looks like something really bad happened to it. And it's just a water bottle touched it briefly. I'm fucked.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it's really, it's like just this year of the car that I have, apparently. Everyone's like, yeah, the seats in this one, yeah, it's a great car, but the seats are fucked. Do not ever put a water bottle or anything down on them. It will stain forever.
Huh. That's very strange.
Yeah.
That should not happen either.
No, it's less dangerous than, I don't know, not dangerous, it's less of a big deal than doors flying off of planes, but I also, you know, I want my car seats to be normal.
Yeah, they should find that out before they manufacture the cars and not use that fabric or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know what, it's like nylon or something, it's like some synthetic thing. It's annoying. Lovely car otherwise, but man, that's a pain in the ass.
Hmm.
Well, this has been a really great first segment here. I think this has been our most 30 plus years old episode ever so far.
Yeah.
But would you like to sort of do a little Hunger Games related segment here?
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while, and we finished the second book, and we're taking a break in between. But how are you feeling about Catching Fire a couple weeks out?
In one ear, out the other.
didn't make a strong impression?
No, not really.
It's weird because like I think in some ways it is better than the first one, but it was so much more of an empty calories novel than I was sort of expecting it to be, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't even necessarily a bad thing, but like I that ending was so bizarre, and I just think overall like the its place as like the middle chapter of a trilogy, and I've read a lot of series. I've read a lot of trilogies. This is the middle of the trilogy book I think I've ever read.
The dark middle chapter?
Well, it's not even that much darker. It was just the middle chapter, I think.
Yeah, it was probably less dark. I think, you know, I don't know. I feel like Catching Fire felt like an action movie, like a sci-fi action movie, which is fine. I like those, but it isn't like a standout sci-fi action movie. And then I have the moment where I'm like, wait a second, they were only in the big clock for like the last third of the book, to be generous. And then I'm like, what else happened? I think that the only thing that keeps me interested is wondering what's going to happen with that pregnancy plotline.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I'm like, there's nothing that really drives me to pick up the third book, which is sort of sad.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely want to get to it, but it's just thinking about, like, what would I have felt if I had been reading this at the time? It would have been indifference, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
Saying yeah with a yawn really sums it up.
Yeah, yeah.
However, I think it's important to enrich oneself with outside perspectives, right?
Definitely.
And so in the spirit of opening our minds and approaching criticism through different lenses, I have decided to take us on a little trip to Quora this week.
That's a crazy website.
This is the long overdue return of the burning questions segment of the Shrieking Shack.
Wonderful.
And I've selected some questions here with some very interesting proposals and some even more interesting answers. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
So our first question is, could the Hunger Games happen in real life?
Hope you believe in the Hunger Games because you're in one.
People have a lot to say about this one. Uh-huh. The top answer here, this is all one paragraph. Actually, oh my God, is it all one sentence? Let's find out. Depends on where you are living and what news do you hear. I know you are looking for an instant answer, but let me tell you that yes, all caps, the Hunger Games could happen. The rise of the riots is increasing poverty, starvation, as well as unemployment. If a country is not as one, then it will have a downfall, then causing a riot. The country itself may have social levels, and I am person speaking from the middle one. The high society levels do not care about the increase in prices or how they graduate from school. They will be unemployed for years, I guess, as they have their backs covered, not caring about anything. People who manage to change their own phones each time Apple releasing one, those people, mm-hmm, who think they live in a 2000s teen movie, but what they do not know is that some people have to see their own parents bust their asses so they can provide things that they believe are essentials. And remind you, I am middle classed one, so the lower class living conditions no one can live in, because the government does not give the slightest of care about their own citizens, and when they see a slight of people's opinion, they create a divergent to make sure the citizens of that country forget what is happening, just like the Hunger Games. The games were made for two distinct reasons. One, to teach the people that riots never work, and two, that the games are a divergent, just as Gale said in the first book, The Cat. And he said, what if we do not watch them, they'll stop them, which she returns by saying it won't happen, period. Okay, that was one sentence.
Hang on, riots don't work? What part? Yeah,
the riots do work, kinda, in the Hunger Games, I thought.
I guess we'll find out in Mockingjay if one of the lessons of the Hunger Games is that riots don't work.
Yeah, I guess we got a whole book to get to. Their conclusion here, however, I think is very interesting. The Hunger Games sooner or later will happen, and I most definitely do not want to witness it. As for some countries that are going to their downfall, watch out, because if the people started a riot, no one will ever survive, even those with the ultimate power, they won't. I hope this won't be my last essay.
Oh my God.
They're speaking some truth here. The government's gonna get them for this one. I hope this isn't my last essay.
I think there's a lot you can say that might put you on a list, and I don't think it's that.
So I think I would say that, you know, a funny answer, very long run on sentence, but I at least get what they're saying. You know, I could have a beer with this person and be like, yeah, no, I understand. I understand what you're putting down. Yeah, we live in the Hunger Games already. That's kind of what the book's about, right?
Mm-hmm.
To keep the class system in place. I get it. This won't be your last essay, buddy.
Who wants to be in a teen movie?
I don't really...
The middle class?
Is it the middle class or the upper class? The people who manage to change their phones every time Apple releasing one of those people who think they live in a 2000s teen movie.
Upper class.
Upper class, yeah. Now, here's one from a slightly more extreme perspective, I think, in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, the world is largely overpopulated and it's rising at an alarming rate. I mean, we can't just make people die because then people will get curious, of course. There is the way we can't just say we're overpopulated and we're going to kill off people, but everyone will panic and society will collapse. Therefore, the Hunger Games would add an element of survival of the fittest, although it would need to be approved by NATO and the country's governments. If overpopulation got that bad, they would have no choice, as Mars is not an option and the Earth is so fragile we don't have the resources to build new cities or even towns. The economic state isn't helped by the fact that we have over 8 billion people over the planet, and let alone millions in such small areas. If we don't sort it out, society will collapse.
Can't even build towns anymore.
We can't even build towns anymore. So in the battle of the run-on sentences here, I'm definitely, I side more with our first answerer here, because this one, I, you know, a little bit of an eco-fash bent on this one, I think.
Yeah, not someone that I can hang with and have a beer, right? Like, that's like the, I gotta go, for sure. I also don't think that the Hunger Games are happening because of overpopulation in the universe of the Hunger Games.
Yeah. I'm also realizing that the question here, neither of these answers honestly are really actually addressing the question, because the question is, could the Hunger Games happen in real life? It's like they're being asked, do you think it would be a good idea? And I don't think that's really the question. This person thinks it would be a good idea and it would need to be approved by NATO. I don't know why specifically NATO also. Like, oh god. And then there was this, I won't read the full one here, but there was a third answer that made me laugh, because, you know, so we've got two different styles of run-on sentence here, and then we have the other kind of funny Quora answer, which is the person who is trying too hard to make it seem like a very intelligent essay response, right? Possible, but not much the similar form as the one in the book or movie, period. It might happen in a, quote, slavery communist society, not in a fascist country like Pan Am. And then in brackets, P.S. Slavery communism is a made-up concept. I cannot find any better description.
What?
food for thought. I have no idea what you're... Bro is cooking nothing on this one. I don't know. It might happen in this thing I made up, which these I can't.
These are the three people that you encounter in the bar. One that you can have a drink with, one that you can't have a drink with, and one where you're like, huh? What?
Moving on to our next question. What would happen to the MBTI types in the Hunger Games? The Myers-Briggs personality types. What would they get up to in the Hunger Games?
INTJ wins every time.
They stare everyone down.
Literally called the mastermind.
Yeah. People went fucking crazy on this question.
Oh, yeah, they did.
People were really excited about this one.
Yep.
First response here. This is from someone who has MBTI expert written in their bio. Studier of developmental psychology.
Real.
So yeah, we're a real expert here. Okay, here we go. First, the grouping of careers. ESTJ will be the ringleader. ENTJ will be the right-hand man. ESFJ will be the hardcore yet caring glue that holds the group together. ISTJ will be the quiet and skilled follower. ESTP will try to join in. I would like to stop this person here and remind them that this is the Hunger Games where one person wins. This is who they kill and how they die. ISFJ overestimates their abilities, can't handle the chaos, dies at cornucopia. INTJ has a crazy, elaborate plan that will definitely allow them to win. However, as they go past the cornucopia, they see a gadget they cannot pass up. They grab it, but they run into the woods, they trip, and the ESTJ gets them with a harpoon.
What the hell?
What oh, no.
Hang on. I don't think so.
The ESTJ gets them with a harpoon. God damn.
Tripped and got a gadget. Couldn't resist.
What was the what gadget would distract the INTJ so? I wonder.
Hmm.
They grab it, they run into the woods, they trip, and the ESTJ gets them with a harpoon. I think the thing that I'm most curious about here is why the ESTJ's weapon of choice is the harpoon.
Extroverted. Why
it couldn't just be that they trip and get killed by someone with a harpoon. It's specifically an ESTJ with a harpoon kills them.
So they're what? They're extroverted. What is S sensing?
Extroverted sensing something.
Thinking,
jopping,
judging. So they judge the harpoon to be a good weapon.
Oh.
They think that the harpoon would be a good weapon. They're sensing that it's a good weapon.
They sense that the INTJ tripped in the woods.
And their social battery is charged by being around people.
The ISFP avoids the cornucopia and hides in the forest. Eventually, they're found by the couriers, but fights to the death with them. The INFP grabs a loaf of bread or tarp from the outskirts of the group and runs towards the woods and gets killed before they make it by a soaring dagger from the ENTJ. Okay.
The extroverted NTJ. That's scary stuff.
Now, so the ESTJ weapon was the harpoon.
Uh-huh.
And the ENTJ weapon is a soaring dagger, so a throwing knife. So the difference between sensing and nurturing is whether or not you want to throw a big thing at someone or a small thing at someone.
I think N is in... intuiting.
Oh, okay. And
I think I'm an expert.
Yeah.
I'm the expert.
Well, yeah, I have to trust this. I just realized I can mouse over the profile here. So not only are they an expert, their job listing is MBTI consultant at freelance.
So crazy, mine too.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. Okay. All right, now the skilled types and their series of events. First, the couriers are together planning their strategy. ESTP gets a little too obnoxious and is killed by ESTJ. Oh no. ESFJ gets a little upset but is rebuked by ESTJ. The four now set out to find the others. The optimists lose ENFJ somewhere, maybe through stupidity or a trap, so the two set out. Unfortunately, they are a little too loud and everyone can hear them. They get caught by the couriers. ESFP dies first because they can't shut their mouth. ENFP is considered for the couriers, but instead ENFP tries to fight back and is killed. Meanwhile, INFJ and ISTP meet in the woods and pair up. ISTP has supplies from the cornucopia, and INFJ collected food from the woods. They make a pact. Wow, they have really gone into detail on this, actually.
Yeah, this is crazy. They just, like, wrote one of these, but, like, assigned personality types to the characters. That's nuts.
That's this is impressive. You know those have you ever seen that like Hunger Games spreadsheet game thing where you can like put in a bunch of characters and it'll like randomly generate a Hunger Game for you? This is they're just kind of doing that off the dome here. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna skip because like I said, they have written a lot here. But I'm gonna skip to the end here. ISTP is left as the victor, and rightly so. They are smart and cunning, can read people in situations, but stay grounded in reality. Did an ISTP write this comment?
Introverted, sensing, thinking, perceiving.
Perceiving, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
And here's the denouement. The arena is now closed down and is being rebuilt for capital tours. There, the construction crew sees ISTJ in a tree, ready and aiming an arrow at them. ISTJ doesn't win, but ISTJ also doesn't die. They are simply forgotten and ignored.
Rude. What the hell?
A little post-credits scene to this answer here.
I love that. It's kind of Like the end of Jumanji or whatever. So this answerer is an expert at freelance.
Yes.
And what that makes me think of is those bullshit company, like consultant companies that go to like sell their services to other companies to go and like consult and like do like personality quizzes on all the employees. And they're like, Janet's not a good communicator or what. And like making people like figure out how to better do their jobs. And it's like complete bullshit. I think that this freelancer consultant should do that, but take the workplace and just say who would win the Hunger Games. Like, I would like this constructed for my workplace, and we could all fight about who's going to win the Hunger Games.
Oh, that's such a good idea. That would be the best way to completely destroy any sense of camaraderie the office had left. That would be so good. If you go to your job, and it turns out that it's like a, you know, an assembly day, and they're like, hey, this expert is going to tell you which of you would live and die in the Hunger Games. Those employees are getting maybe too engaged. Everyone is like actually mad at each other by the end of the day. This is such a great idea.
Right. And especially because like one of the like the weird little needles in that guy's like explanation, like, ESTP got a little annoying, so the head of HR killed him with a harpoon.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, I love this idea. This would be so good.
We could do this.
Yeah, this would be this would be a great idea. This is how we take Shriekcast on the road. We make a little side money telling off just fomenting discord in people's offices. Oh yeah, all of you would die except Jim. Jim would win the Hunger Games. This person has written an answer explaining kind of similar detail, you know, what every single combination does, how they die, who they kill, etc., etc. But they also have an interesting idea for the ending. Which I think is cute that both of these answerers have like not only an answer but sort of a story to tell about their idea. This person, for what it's worth, is not an expert, not a self-proclaimed expert. Their job in the bio is, I read a lot of comics and books.
That's probably the same.
Yeah, probably about the same, and more like that's pretty much my credentials as well. So I trust this person. So for the final round, it is INTJ versus INTP. So INTJ made it a little further for this one.
Got the stare going this time.
Yeah. They are brought together when the announcement tells them that they can either share the glory or kill each other for all of it. Ooh.
Interesting premise.
INTJ assesses the risk after they saw INTP kill ENTJ and decided it's not worth it. INTP, who never really wanted to go in the Hunger Games in the first place, decides this as well. They both emerge victorious.
That's just nice.
That's kind of cute. Yeah, what a pleasant ending to the Hunger Games. Hey, we choose to win together. Why not?
Great.
The last answer here. This person doesn't say who would win, but they're just sort of weighing in as an INFP, sharing their own experience here. As an INFP, I can confidently say that we would die by either one, accidentally stepping off the platform before the countdown because of nervousness. Two, refusing to kill any animals and starving to death. Three, mistakenly eating Nightlock in an attempt to promote veganism to the Capitol. Four, deciding to befriend a mutt and getting mangled by it. Five, trusting an ENTP and dying tragically from one of his practical jokes. Whoa, what kind of practical jokes is the ENTP telling? Holy shit. Six, having a mental breakdown. Oh no. Seven, trying to be friends with everyone and getting killed. 8, getting killed by an ally because we cry too much.
Huh. I'd like to help this person get some confidence.
Yeah. They do list here that INTJ would be the victor, they think.
That's right.
Wow. Yeah, people went nuts on this. We could spin, I think, multiple full episodes out of people's answers here. I'm scrolling. Those were the ones I had prepared. But I'm just scrolling down here. People love these fucking Myers-Briggs things, huh?
Yeah, they do. It's, yeah.
These are Hogwarts houses for old people.
Yeah, I guess. It's so... It's just so stupid.
So finally, I have a question here. What is your review of The Hunger Games: Catching Fire, 2009 book? The top answer here is, I think they didn't read the full title of the question because they answer based on the movie. But I think their answer is so wonderful that I just think we have to read this. This user's expertise, this comment is 10 years old, and their expertise is that they studied at Brigham Young University. So,
okay.
I will rate this movie 4 stars based on the performance of these characters. Katniss, you're a badass. Effie, kudos to you, pale Lady Gaga.
Huh.
President Snow, you one twisted son of a bitch.
That's right.
Joanna, holy cowballs, marry me? Caesar, I acknowledge that you obtained better than 1960s fire special effects.
What?
Meg, I'm so sorry. The victors. Ooh. From...
Oh, I remember.
Do they mean Mags?
Yeah.
Okay. The victors from District 1, 2 grow some balls and fight like grown-ups. Yeah, a little rude. They're a little rude. This for someone
who's... It's a little
edgy. Yeah, a little edgy for someone who studied at Brigham Young, I think.
Mm-hmm.
PETA, grow some bigger balls and talk more. Gale, meh. Haymitch, haha, okay. Is that so? Don't know what that means. Would love to know what that means.
Okay, is that so?
And then, okay, so I finally put together what this answer meant, but I was staring at this for so long, and I'm just sending you this so you can see the formatting. Finnick beat nuts. Okay. And it took me ages to realize that they meant Finnick, BT, and... volts or whatever.
Ah, sure.
But I was looking at this going, is Finnick's name Finnick Beat Nuts? Also, I'm scrolling through this. Every single person is reviewing the film here. Nobody... Did anyone read Catching Fire?
Guess not.
Oh, here's one person reviewing the book. Their expertise is top writer 2014, 2015, and 2018.
Wow.
Holy shit. Top writer. Their job is angel investor.
Okay.
Their other qualification is in love and always will be.
Wow.
That's so nice. I'm so happy for them. And their review is 3 stars. It was okay.
Yeah, me too.
I love Cora. I love Cora. Every day I wake up and check my email, my spam folder is full of those like suggested questions. Warms my heart every day. People are asking the smartest, biggest brain questions there every single day.
Something is going on that website, and I feel like someone like knows, and I don't I get the one. Do you get the one in your inbox like multiple times that's like, my son held his breath because I wouldn't give him an Optimus Prime toy and he died?
No. What the fuck?
I get that one so much.
Do you want to hear what mine are?
Yeah.
Let me just see. Cora. Is Paul Simon a Democrat or a Republican? Does the Bible mention anything about robots taking over jobs? What is the most frightening thing that's ever been discovered by archaeologists?
Why does Anne Hathaway hate being called Anne?
My kid can see infrared. Should I be worried?
Yeah, here it is. My 12-year-old son died after holding his breath because I didn't give him an Optimus? Question mark.
What? I don't think that's true. What? Is Taylor Swift actually a nice person? Is 13 a kid or a teenager? Ooh, now we're getting into good. This is like, is the ground the floor type questions here.
Yeah. If Harry had married Hermione, who do you think Ron should have married?
Ooh.
Can I ask Fender for a free guitar?
You can ask, yeah.
You
Why
can
not?
Definitely ask.
As a conservative, is there something about liberals you admire?
I get a lot of questions about narcissists, which I know, like, Quora is, like, obsessed with, like, that pop psychology. I mean, it's the same reason they're obsessed with the Myers-Briggs stuff. Is this just, like, all pop psychology nonsense? But that's, like, I just, like, get, like, why do narcissists block people?
Yeah.
What is narcissistic collapse? Who's the user base? I don't understand.
Yeah, it seems like it's huge. Like, it's a really, really popular website.
It is a complete mystery to me.
Complete mystery, but it's a mystery I love. It's a great website. Full of great questions.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, we've been going for a bit here. What do you say we take it to the close?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Our theme song is Hot McGonagall by Church of Moon. Huge thanks to them, as always, for letting us use it as our theme song. You can find them on Bandcamp. You can find us at patreon.com/shriekcast. And Liz, I guess next time we'll be reading The Truce of Bakura, right?
Yeah, some amount of it for sure.
Yeah, we'll figure out exactly how much, and I'll tweet out, you know, like what sort of length to expect if you're reading along with us. But until then, I was about to say read another book, but we're not on that one anymore. But I also can't say Happy Hunger Games, so I'll just say have a good truce at Bakura.
May the force be with you.
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah, there we go. That's where you're the boss. Makes ocean roar seem tame. Better know what you're after if you catch a ride. Because this hot mama is just a cat in disguise.